So for those of you who are wondering why you've got these, this is not my idea. Phil and I were sat in our lounge last night watching telly, and I was praying, well, as you do, well, as I do, I was praying the whole day about the service today. And I had my sort of notes in hand. I just needed to type them all out. And I suddenly heard or felt, however you want to describe it, crackers. Get some Christmas crackers. It's there for your sermon. I sat there, I didn't say anything to Phil, and I just kind of pondered on it and kept praying. And I looked at my watch, and it was, I don't know, after 10. And I said, right, Phil, we've got to go to Tesco because I've got to buy some Christmas crackers. And he said, what now? I said, yeah, we've got to go to Tesco and buy some Christmas crackers. Why? I just need Christmas crackers. And maybe some cat food and milk. So off we went to Tesco. This will all become clear in a minute. And then today, as I was typing up and last night, I was like, okay, you've asked me to do these Christmas crackers. What am I going to title this thing? Because I'm talking about joy. And there were some puns about crackers, and I thought, no, I don't really want to pun about crackers. So the title of today's message is called Beyond the Bang. Beyond the Bang, the eternal joy of the kingdom. And I've got four main points that I'm going to go through, and we'll come to the crackers in a minute. So crackers at the ready. If you have them on the floor, pick them up. Don't pop them yet. We're going to pop them in a minute. The first point is this. And as you know, today is the third Sunday of Advent, and we're talking about joy. And as soon as, I think it was Dean who told me about the Advent candles, and that it was going to be joy. I thought, okay. Lord, they're giving me a prescriptive thing of what to talk about. And so and he instantly kind of gave me an outline of what I was going to talk about. And I thought, this doesn't sound like a joyful message, Lord. But here we go. So the first point is that joy is the manifestation of the fullness of God's kingdom rule within us. One of the first scriptures that the Lord gave me when I was preparing for today is actually, I remembered it through a song that I sang as a little girl, and some of you might know this. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God. You know it, Warren, don't you? And I said, oh, right. The kingdom of God is joy. Righteousness and peace. We've already done peace. And so the Lord was talking to me about joy being the manifestation of his kingdom here on earth. And there are three points within this point. The first one is the shoot. In Nehemiah 8:10, it says, Nehemiah said, go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to the Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. God's joy is our strength. If his kingdom is joy, righteousness, and peace, it means that we are to expressly manifest and exhibit the kingdom of God joy in our lives. I don't often feel joyful. I don't know about you. Before the service, I had a little cry. I'm going to confess it now. And I went down there to Phil and I said, I don't know what's going on. And I looked at my watch and my blood pressure was my heart rate was about 113. I didn't feel, he said, but it's about joy, babe. I said, I don't feel joyful right now. But here I am, I have to manifest his joy because that's his kingdom rule within our life. You see, joy is not a natural thing for human beings, and very often we can mistake happiness for joy. Not the same thing. I'll talk about the neuroscience, because some of you know I'm a nerd. I'll talk about the neuroscience and the biology of joy and happiness in a moment. But as the Lord asked me to talk about his kingdom and the manifestation of it in joy, I thought, how am I going to do this without saying that sometimes I'm not joyful, so therefore I'm not carrying his kingdom, and I'm not showing it. And he reminded me that it's not about my joy, but about his joy. And his joy being the strength and the impetus of which I can demonstrate his kingdom. It's the shoot, the first thing that comes up. In Isaiah 61:3, I'll just read the bit that I want to talk about. It says, actually I'll read the whole thing. And provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. Have you ever been in despair? Have you ever been hurting? Have you ever been stressed out, anxious? God's joy is going to be an oil for us. I don't know if you've ever put oil on your body. Slippy thing, innit? Sticky thing, innit? If you put oil on your skin, it's going to shine. Well, I don't know, on mine it will because I'm brown. Maybe on yours it will too. Every night I stick some castor oil on my face and I know I feel like I've got that Korean glow, the glass skin glow. But when you rub oil on your skin, everybody knows it because you're shining. It's a sign of the manifestation of the fullness of God's kingdom. Then you've got the root. Okay, we know that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Romans 14 says, "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit." You see, I said before, the joy is not ours. It's not a natural thing for us. It's got to come from inside of us. Happiness is an external source. And again, I'll tell you about it in a minute. But when we have the joy of the Lord within us, because we have the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit in us, we can't help but have joy. In the midst of chaos, like the song said, I still got joy in chaos. How is it possible, not humanly possible, to have joy in the midst of the disaster on Bondi Beach? When you get a phone call from someone on the other side of the world saying your loved one has just been killed in a tragic accident while they were on holiday in Bondi Beach, where is the joy? There is no joy. I know if that happened to me, joy would not be my first response, maybe it's just me. I'd be like, what? Disbelief. A few years ago, many years ago now actually, one of my dearest friends passed away on Christmas Eve. She had a little boy, and he found her. And that happened in the Caribbean. And Phil and I and his best friend were getting ready to go to church, remember? And I was upstairs getting ready, and the boys were downstairs, and all they could hear me saying is no. And so my mum rang me and said, "Matt, Nasha has passed away." And I said, "What?" She said, "Yeah, Nasha just passed away. I just got the call." I said, "No, no, no. You've got a mistake. You've got something's not right. You've got the message wrong." And so I hung up the phone without saying goodbye, and I rang Nasha's phone. And her sister answered and said, "Nat, is true." There was no joy. Until I flew to St. Lucia, went to the morgue to see her body, it just didn't compute. We buried her, it didn't compute. Every now and then, it still doesn't compute. Her son's now a young man going to college, and it still doesn't compute. I don't know the state of Nasha's heart or life when she passed away, but I've had to find joy because she has a young man who we've had to raise and care for and love and remind of his mom. He was really young. That joy that I might have had could never be mine. It had to be from the kingdom of God because I couldn't sustain it. You see, if we want to have joy, we need to be rooted and grounded in the kingdom of God, in his presence every single day. I'll talk for myself because I know Paul's righteous, I know Dean, you know. I know you are really good, wonderful people, but me, as I said last time, if I didn't know Jesus, I wouldn't be a very nice human being. So I have to spend my life in his presence. Phil will tell you, I'm picking on him, and I won't for very much longer, that when Natalie doesn't spend time in Jesus' presence, Kay, he'd prefer not to be in the house. Don't tell him I haven't said that. You'll never live it down. I'll never live it down. I have to spend time in his presence. Psalm 16:11 says, "You make known to me the path of life. You fill me with joy in your presence and with eternal pleasure at your right hand." You see, when I spend time in his presence, my last point is that I can demonstrate his fruit, because joy is a fruit of the Spirit. The fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And I can tell you that when I do not spend time in God's presence, I have no patience, no self-control, zero love, less than zero patience, less than zero. I have less than 0.0000 of all the mathematics. I have less. And so I have to spend time in his presence if I am to go out into the world and manifest his kingdom. We all need to spend time in his presence if we are to be carriers of his light in this world full of darkness. You know, I was thinking about a trip that we recently took to the desert. It's dark in the desert. And the place that we stayed in a campsite in the desert recently in Morocco. And they didn't use electricity very much. It was all lit by little torches and lamps. It was phenomenally beautiful. And I tell you what, if we were very far away from those candles and those little torches, we couldn't see in front of our faces. Am I right? And I was thinking as I was preparing, I was thinking, you know, we talk about darkness being the absence of light. It is true. It just takes one star in the sky for you to be able to see a little bit more than you could if there were no stars in the sky. I cannot be a light to the world if I'm not in the presence of the Lord 24 hours a day. And I'm not in the presence of the Lord 24 hours a day, even though he sees everything I do. You know, we can duck out of the presence of the Lord. Don't look at me today because I'm about to do something or say something that I would not like you to hear. And he reminds me that no matter what I do and say, he's right there. So now comes the cracker. The Christmas cracker was invented in the 1840s by a confectioner named Tom Smith. It was just sugared almonds in there. But of course, now you know that it's all sorts of wonderful things. And that idea changed when he heard the crackling of a log on a fire. And he decided, what if a gift could be opened with a bang? Here comes my bang. So why don't you sit the person next to you and pull the cracker. You can pull this. You guys can have this one. Come on, lock the bag. Okay. There you go. Wonderful, isn't it? Wunderbar. There you go. Marvelous. Now, I have to admit that I'm not too sure what's in those crackers, but that's coming in. You see, at Christmas, we look for the crackers, that bang that we've all just had, the wonderful funny faces that we're all just putting on, that's happiness. It's seasonal. It's seasonal. And that's circumstantial. We're all looking forward to putting on the crown. We're all looking forward to the gains. None of you knew what you were going to get. But now that the ban is over, Maureen, there's not really very much else to look forward to other than me laughing in your face. Oh no, is there another cracker? Honestly. Seasonal. Temporal. The happiness spark. Okay, let's return to sanity. Happiness sparks like that bang of the, or pull of the cracker. And then it disappears. But the joy of the Lord remains with us because its source stays with us. The presence of God produces joy. Okay, number two, joy is not temporal or externally reliant. Joy is the overflow of the indwelling presence of God in our lives. You know, it's interesting. Herod expected a bang. That's why he killed all the baby boys. He expected there to be some big thing going on. He sent the wise men to find this king. He did all of this kerfuffle because he expected there to be some big triumphant entrance of a savior, a messiah, a king who would take over from him. And what happened? Nothing. Instead, Christ came as a quiet baby born in a lowly manger. That cracker that we just pulled was an exciting promise. You know, we thought we were going to get some games in there or some toys. I know Alan was shaking it before. Now he just looks like a reindeer, which is perfect. And this is what happens with happiness. Happiness stimulates our reward system. This is where I get nerdy on you. I get really, really nerdy. Stimulates our reward system and it distracts us. You all got very distracted once I asked you to pull the crackers. We're still distracted because Paul is wearing a funny face and so is Phil wearing a snowman face. Joy doesn't do that to us. Joy keeps us focused, and I'll explain why in a moment. Because of the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, joy can't help but remain. You know, in the 1860s, after this man decided to put a little thing in the cracker and so it can come with a bang, it's evolved to what it's become today. You can go anywhere, from Marks and Spencer's to John Lewis to Fourth and the Mason to Selfridges, and buy a £1 cracker or a £50,000 cracker. None of the things in the cracker, unless it's a Lamborghini, and even then, is going to last. You can spend as little or as much as you want, but it's all designed to fade away. As long as the initial excitement of the bang is faded, that's it. It's like having a cup with nothing in it. If you don't have anything in the cup, if there's nothing in the cracker, there's no excitement, right? You pull a cracker, poor David, you've got nothing, got the other end of the cracker. If you got something, would you have been a bit happier?
No.
That's good. That's because your joy is complete, right? If there was chocolate in there, you'd definitely have been excited. How do the contents of the cracker get exposed?
By pulling it.
Yeah. This is what happens to us in life. The content of what's in us gets exposed when we're stretched. When life pulls our strings, our edges, whatever is inside of us will come out of us. And if what's inside of us is fleeting, Trevor, if it's a paper hat that doesn't fit very well and will rip if I pull it, if it's a little, you know, tweezer thing or whatever is in the crackers these days, that's all that's going to come out. But if what's in us is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, when life pulls on us, like the story of the woman Gianluca shared this morning, who faced horrendous atrocities and still had joy, if what's pulled out of us when we're pulled are the fruits of the Spirit, because of the indwelling presence of the Lord, that joy will be the result. Unlike a cracker. I want to encourage myself, if you want to be encouraged, not to be a Christmas cracker Christian, we need to find some time to be in the presence of the Lord. Because sometimes I'm a Christmas cracker Christian. Something happens and I get flustered. It goes up. Like tonight. Whereas if I had remembered, like Phil said, it's about joy, I would have been calm. Now there's a difference. There's a difference between anxiety and feeling nervous and anxious. And even then, I shouldn't be nervous and anxious, should I be? Why? Scripture reminds me, be anxious for nothing. But in all things, what's in your cracker, Natalie Green? Is it love? Do I love my brothers and sisters in church that when I stand here with a cracker and ask them to put it, they're not going to think I've lost the plot? Have I got the patience to sit with the Lord when he says to me, go and buy some crackers and bring them to church and put them in your sermon? Have I got the patience with my husband when he says, you sure you want to go now? If we don't have the root of Christ, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, there's nothing in our cracker. Nothing. We are meant to show and bear the fruits of the Holy Spirit. All of them. But if we don't spend time in His presence, then we can't produce it. Christmas crackers celebrate a moment. Once the bang is over, the excitement fades. It goes away quickly. So here's the nerdy part of the science. So, happiness is transactional, and it activates the reward center of our brain. It feeds desire, and it craves validation. It's called the hedonic treadmill. That doesn't sound good. I don't even like a treadmill at the best of times. Because we're constantly on it. It doesn't let us off. You know, what happens with happiness is it's one of those weird, creates a weird chemical reaction in our brain that's like drugs. The more happiness we need to feel, the more we need to consume. Happiness requires dopamine, which is the motivation, pleasure, and reward chemical of the brain, endorphins, which are pain relief, and the feel-good factor, and serotonin, only sometimes, which is a mood stabilizer. The problem with those three chemicals is that they're very short-lived. You know when you can't sleep at night? It's because your serotonin levels are off. They're a bit skew. Short-lived. And on the other hand, joy is relational. I love this, being the nerdy psychologist that I am, psychotherapist that I am. Joy is relational. It requires us to be in close communion with God and with others. Joy invites something different. It invites bonding and connection. It invites trust and a secure attachment. Unlike happiness that just wants, give me now, and then bye. Joy requires oxytocin, completely different chemical. That's the bonding hormone. So you know when you first meet someone and you want to be friends or in a relationship, oxytocin is your chemical in your brain. That's the bonding, that's the love chemical. That's the one that says, ooh, stay every minute with me. Don't go. I like pizza, even though you hate pizza. Let's have pizza every night with anchovies. I hate anchovies, but I love you. So I'm going to eat all the anchovies in the world. That's oxytocin. It also releases endogenous opiates. Not the bad kind. Endogenous opiates signify deep, soothing, and emotional warmth. And joy in our brains activates and initiates the parasympathetic system. That's a big word that says it's our rest and connection system. Isn't it interesting that the Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength, and in your presence, not in my home, not in my bathroom, although I could be in my bathroom, as Paul and I often discuss, in your presence there is fullness of joy in communion with the Holy Spirit, in relationship, not transaction, not pull the cracker and you get joy. Go and spend some time with Jesus. Proper time. In your presence there is fullness of joy. And at your right hand there are pleasures evermore. When you think about joy, think about the fact that it's internally motivated, not externally activated. We cannot have joy, fullness of joy, without being in the presence of the Lord. You know, I just want to say this really quickly before I move on. The absence of joy in our life creates medical problems. That's not me talking crazy talk, although it sounds like it is. Science is now catching up to the Bible. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 14:13, laughter can hide a heavy heart. When laughter ends, the pain resurfaces. That's the Bible. We now know from neuroscience that a broken heart activates the exact same response as a broken bone. The body knows no difference. If your heart is broken, it feels like your bone is broken. It feels like you have a wound. The Bible got there first when it says in Proverbs 17:22, a cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. If we don't have joy, God's joy, true joy, that's only found with connection with Him, then we have more than just a little bit of a problem. Joy is a gift that we need to ask for explicitly. My last point. It's a gift that we need to ask for explicitly. Because of the impact that it has, not just on us, in our spiritual walk, but on our actual bodies. If unhappiness, if the lack of joy can lead to a crushed spirit, broken bones, I mean, why would you not run out and buy everlasting supply? I mean, I would. I mean, I haven't learned that yet, mind you. I'm still learning it, right? Gianluca, I'm still learning to go out and buy my everlasting portion of jewelry to satisfy my crushed bones. If that's the answer, then why am I not asking for more joy? You know, we ask God for a lot of stuff. I ask God for a lot of stuff. God, please, my inquiries have dried up. Please can you make sure that I have work next month? So I'm not broke. Please can you just cover my car, you know, protect me as I'm going out. Please can you just cover my grandchildren, you know, give them a spirit of excellence, Lord. Don't let them do bad things at school. And, you know, Lord, protect my husband and my children and cover them, you know, don't have a hard time. Lord, you know, help my clients and help me and heal me. And these are good things. The Bible says that we should ask for things. It does say that. But it also says that we don't have things because we don't ask according to His word. Joy is one of those things. It's one of those things that we have to ask for. You know, John 16:24 says, until now, you haven't asked for anything in my name. Ask, and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. Joy is something we have to ask for. Throughout scripture, different people were asking and praying about joy. Asking is a prayer. In Romans, it says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy. That was the author's prayer. That the God of all joy will fill you with joy. The God of all hope will fill you with joy. In Psalm 16, it says, make known your path of life, and you will fill me with joy. That was a cry of someone's heart. It was a plea to the Lord to fill them with joy. You know, even Jesus recognized that joy was outside of him in terms of the fact that the joy wasn't his. Jesus was going to the cross. Not a joyful place. And we know it's not a joyful place for him because he looked up and he said, Lord, please, if it's possible, could you just change the ending? If it's possible, could you take this cup from me? Nevertheless, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. Hebrews 12:2 says, who for the joy set before him. You see, Jesus knew that there was a bigger prize at the end waiting for him. So it says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. What are you experiencing today that you're enduring? Joy is a prerequisite to endurance based on that scripture that I just read. I didn't say it. That's the order it came in. Who for the joy he endured. Because I know that the score is already settled, I should have more joy. Because I know that the victory is already won, I should have more joy. But it's not always easy. I'm not suggesting that it is. But I can ask for it. Just like the centurion said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Lord, I am joyful, fill me with more joy. Lord, I can be happy sometimes, but really what I need is the indwelling fullness of your presence so that I can manifest your kingdom, fill me with your joy. You see, the creator of these crackers filled them with all kinds of stuff to distract and entertain us. The world gives us stuff too. Good stuff and bad stuff. I wonder which stuff we're full of. Our Creator created us with stuff in us. So that when the storms of life come and they pull us at the cracker, and that's what's going to happen, it's not going to be one direction, it's going to be two people, two sets of things, or 12, pulling you from every different direction. Bills to pay, children to take care of, grandchildren to sort out, sermons to write, house to clean, food to cook, washing, laundry, the list goes on. My mental health, my emotional well-being, my physical health, this doctor's appointment, that doctor's, that ache, that fall, this, that, and the other, 27,000 things on a never-ending stream, the treadmill, what's going to come out of us when we're pulled? Is what's going to come out of me the stuff that my Creator has put in me? At the moment, it's not always joy for me. But I want it to be. I want it to be. Sometimes we're so empty, so depleted, because we haven't spent time in His presence. And any tug, even before our cracker bursts, reveals nothing, or at least very little. The Bible says, those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. And what is our strength? Anybody? The joy of the Lord is our strength. So if I want to have 2020 vision, I need joy. Happiness doesn't allow us to see beyond a matter. Joy allows us to see the end. For the past few weeks, we've been talking about a few things, three to be precise, and there's two more to go. We've been talking about hope, and we need to hold on to that hope. You know, we ask ourselves, how do we get joy? We get joy by holding on to the hope of Christ, the one who was and is to come. We need to have peace that passes all understanding, that will guard our hearts and our minds. This is a really important one. I didn't have fullness of peace earlier on when I had my little freak out moment. Only God knows why. I think I know why, to be fair. I think Holy Spirit has already told me. And generally when He does that, it's because it matters. For me anyway. Know the peace that passes all understanding. God has already placed all of these things in us. We can ask Him for these things, but you know He's already given them to us. He's given them to us because He's completed the work on the cross. It's like having a blank check, Glenn. An open check. We've got a multi-gazillionaire who said you can have whatever you want. And we stand there with the check, like what someone dear to me does. He says, go into this shop that you like and buy whatever you want. And I'm like a deer in the headlights, and I walk up with nothing, Claire. I mean, somebody else would be like, gimme, gimme, gimme. That's what we're like with the Holy Spirit, with God. He's given us everything. He's got everything stored up in heaven. And yet still, we don't want to activate it. Why is that? Why do we do that? I don't know. I don't know why I do it. So we need hope. We need to hold on with expectancy. We need peace. We need to settle our soul under His rule. We need joy. We need to abide in the presence of the Almighty. We're going to talk in the next couple of weeks about love. You know, we have to live a life that's shaped by the love of Christ, the God who came near to us in human form, the God who has remained with us through His Holy Spirit. The Christmas cracker Christian is a stark contradiction and contrast to what Scripture calls joy. It's not a momentary happiness, but an enduring, sustaining joy of the kingdom of God. I want to encourage myself and you tonight to think about joy in a different way this Christmas. You know, when we use the word presence, we're not talking about the one with the TS on the end. It's not about the gift. Although it is a gift. God's presence is a gift. You know, the psalmist says, take not your Holy Spirit from me. And the Holy Spirit was a gift. We mustn't grieve Him. We must enjoy and crave and relish His present and His presence. This is how our joy will be complete. Too often, we sit down and we focus on everything around us. This person is the problem. Nothing. If only I had this. If only I had that. I am there now. I'm here now. Battling health, and I'm here now. Lord, all these years, would you just heal me? Come on, I know you can. And I'm reminded, if he doesn't do it, will I love him any less? If he doesn't give me £1 million to buy those houses so that I can retire easily, will I love him any less? Will I spend any less time in his presence? No, I won't. I'll run to his presence all the more. Because I know that the one who holds my future is present now. He knows my end from my beginning. And because of that, my joy can be complete. I don't know what part of your joy is missing. I don't know what's in your cracker. Sometimes we don't share those things. And that's okay. Sometimes we need to share those things. Sometimes I need to go and say, Kay, my cracker is empty. Can you pray for me to fill it up? Can you lend me some of your joy? Because joy is in community. So I want to give us a little opportunity. If Gianluca can come and just play for us, please. I want to give us a little opportunity just to spend some time searching our heart. I know the time has gone really quick, and I pray that something other than the crackers has resonated tonight. You know, I really ask the Lord to help me tonight, not just because of loaves, but this is a, you know, Sam and I were talking before. I don't even know how I've fallen into this preaching thing. I have no idea. Pray for me, because I don't even know if I'm going to do it next year, if I'm being honest. It's hard. And it's not just hard to stand here. It's hard because it challenges me. It challenges me to look at my life and expose it to the Word of God. The Bible says the entrance of your Word brings light. And every time He does it, He shines a spotlight on the darkness in me. And He says, this is you. These are the things that you need. These are the things that my kingdom needs, my people need, my church needs, my body needs. So I don't know what you need for your joy to be complete. But I want to invite you to just bring it to the Lord. Honestly, bring it to the Lord. Lord, my joy is incomplete in my health, my physical health. Lord, my joy is incomplete in my marriage, in my relationship, in my relationship status. Lord, I'm single. I want a partner. Lord, my joy is incomplete in my mental health. Lord, my joy is incomplete in my family. Lord, my joy is incomplete in my reading of the Bible, in worship, in cussing out the people in traffic, in doing whatever, in eating, in drinking, in whatever it is. My joy is incomplete. I don't have fullness of joy. I'm not free. I don't have peace that passes all understanding. I don't have hope that is the currency. Faith is the currency of our salvation. It moves us in a certain direction. Lord, I don't have enough faith. I'm like the centurion. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. I don't know what yours is tonight. But Advent is an opportunity for us to bring it all to Him, so that He can do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. No Christmas cracker, no gift other than Him will ever satisfy. No thing that you can buy, eat, drink, take, watch, read, listen to, apart from His Word, will ever fill us up. Nothing but His presence will give us fullness of joy. So Lord, we come. We come boldly to Your throne of grace, because heaven's storehouse is full of joy. And we could all use a little more joy, a little more strength, a little more of You, and a little less of us. You know every cry of every heart, O God. You know every silent word whispered. You know every corner of darkness. Would You come? Move over us with rejoicing as You do. that we may have joy. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. And Lord, we thank you and we praise you, because in you our joy is complete.